There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You are listening to Drive Live with Tim Elliott and Natalie Lindo-Taylor. Right now, we're turning our attention to all things techie.
Drive Live talks technology.
So we have one guest in the studio with us for Drive Live Talks Technology today. It is Abbas Jafar Ali, who's the Managing Editor of Tech Radar. Very good to have you back with us.
Always good to be here, Natalie.
I mean, we do love Nick, but it's great to get the boss man sometimes, isn't it?
That's a nice way to put it, yeah. Hopefully Nick's not listening online.
He's
Hi, Nick.
Taiwan,
just in case. Just in case. But yes, good to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, when you first came in the studio, we said hello, as we usually do, and you've got a ring on today that's different. Talk to me about it,
first of all. It's not my wedding ring, which is on my left hand. This is
nice to clarify that, just in case Mrs. is listening.
So this is the Aura Ring 2. It's sort of like a sleep tracker that kind of looks at your heart rhythm, looks at your body temperatures. And I kind of like analytics about, you know, my body, how it's functioning, all that. Smartwatches do a lot of that too, but they're not very convenient to wear at nighttime when you're sleeping. I've tried it a couple of times, just, you know, not my cup of tea, just too big. So this ring sort of goes on one of your three fingers, well, actually any one of your fingers. It's custom made, so you order a sizing kit from them. They send you a sizing kit, which is what I have right now. So this is not the real ring. Mine is in pre-order right now. But this is exactly what it's going to look like. It's got a 7-day battery life, and you're supposed to keep it on 24/7. It's supposed to give you stats on what's the most active period for you during the day for you to exercise, or when's the best time for you to eat, or when's the best time for you to rest, basically.
Wow.
Gives you all those stats, basically. Just, I guess you wear it for a week or so, and then it learns about your habits, and then based on that, it gives you all that information.
So it connects to an app on your phone.
Correct.
And it basically processes and crunches numbers for you.
Exactly.
And it gives you an idea of how healthy you are, when to exercise,
when to eat, when to sleep. Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So that's very smart wearable tech. Is it something that you are going to, are you looking at that thinking, this answers the questions for me? Because wearable tech, and I say this for a reason, I have a smartwatch and I took it off because I went on holiday, didn't want to take the chargers, too many chargers, went back to a normal watch, and I've not put the smartwatch back
on. Oh, I absolutely agree with you. Charging is one of the biggest pain points of wearables. I've switched to this Fitbit Ionic because it's got almost 7 days of charge. I've used the Apple Watch, I've used the Samsung Gear S. Again, just a day or two of battery life doesn't cut it for me. This thing's got 7 days, and considering how it's not very intrusive, it's very tiny, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't even know it. I think the only time I feel it is when I'm shaking hands, because it kind of crunches your fingers a little bit. Mm. That's the only time I feel it. Other than that, I'll let you know how it goes, because, I mean, you know, once I get mine, hopefully sometimes next month, I'll use it for a week or 10 days, and I'll let you know, but I'm looking forward to it.
Where are you on wearable tech, Abbas? Because it's almost like we're at the start, and the Apple Watch was a big announcement, and some people love them, some people don't. Where are you?
I think wearables, as far as watches are concerned, are just a transitionary phase for us. I think glasses is where it's headed. I think it's going to be another 5, 7, 8, 10 years by the time everything sort of fits into your regular pair of glasses, like the one you're wearing right now, Tim. Mm. But your phone's going to be in there. You know, everything that you can imagine, your phone's going to be replaced by your glasses, your watches again, because, I mean, you've got two screens in front of your eyes, which will be able to project anything and everything that your phone does right now. You know, the earpiece sort of just slides along your back, the frame of your glasses, you have all of that to answer calls, to make calls, to whatever else that you want to do. It's going to have motion sensing, it's going to have all the sensors needed to read your body readings. So I think that's where it's headed. I honestly think that's brilliant.
I have to say, Bas, you've taken me to the future with that, with those couple of sentences. It's very difficult for me to imagine that. I'm quite worried, because I'm very short-sighted, quite worried about the font size of the text if it goes into my glasses.
Well, there's another hurdle to overcome, but it is interesting. But think back, think 10 years ago. Who had a smartphone 10 years ago? You were well off if you had a smartphone 10 years ago. Was the first iPhone was around about 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it's been 10 years now.
Okay, so it's just around. But we were all walking around with our Nokia things. We were texting
by
punching buttons three times to get an H or whatever it was. You looked at that screen and thought, that'll never catch on.
I do think predictive text has been around a bit longer than 10 years.
Well, it has.
Fine.
No, it has, but that's what we were doing, weren't we? We were doing that. And it's changed. That's the thing. So to have glasses on, I can see that. I fancy a heads-up display in front of my eyes all the time. That'd be great.
You could actually pretend you were listening to someone, Tim, which is what you do anyway, and be looking at your messages or reading something. That's why you like it, right?
The future is lots of apparently crazy people talking to nobody that we can see. Yes. I remember the first time I was involved with anybody with a hands-free. I was sat on a train.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was actually a hands-free. I couldn't see the cable.
Right.
But there was a crazy person on the train going into London. I lived in just outside West London. I was going into the centre of London, and there was a crazy person shouting and bawling on the phone. Nobody could see the cable or knew they were on the phone. Everybody was moving to the other end of the carriage.
Yeah.
It was just a mad person. It wasn't. It was a phone call. You know,
things change quickly, don't they? Talking of change, Abbas, let's look at some of the announcements from Apple. Lots of people waiting, sitting tight to see what Apple are going to reveal. It's kind of that time when people wonder, right, do I need to replace any of my gadgets at home? There's a lot of excitement. So what are sort of key announcements we should look through?
Fair enough. So Apple held their Worldwide Developers Conference. This was a couple of days ago, where they revealed the new software side of things. It's not new hardware, so no new phones or watches or laptops or anything like that. It's more or less just what happens with the future of software on your iPhone, on your watch, on your Macs. So on the iPhone, the iOS 12 was released or revealed, basically. A developer's version is released as well, and it's got quite a few little things that I'm going to run you by. The first thing is group notifications. So Android's been very good at it. Basically, if you're receiving 20 different notifications from 5 different apps, on the iPhone, each one of them appears as a separate notification. So you're going scrolling through like large lists of things. Android is smart where it bundles them together based on the app. So if you've got 5 from Instagram, it'll put them together. That's finally coming to iPhone. I think that's a great feature. My personal favorite is something called Screen Time. And
I think I've read about this.
Okay. So anyone who's got kids and anyone who's got kids with iPhones or iPads.
Or real life adults, maybe.
So you're basically going to be able to restrict the amount of time that someone is on an iPhone or an iPad, or the amount of time someone is using a particular app. What I really like about this is, look, I've got a router at home where I can control my kids' smartphone usage, where the router shuts off at 10 p.m. at night and they can't access the internet. But the problem with that is that if I ever want to send them an iMessage or something like that, they won't get that either. With this thing on Apple, what you can do is you can set exceptions. So, you know what? Instagram is blocked, Facebook is blocked, web browsing is blocked, iMessage is open. So in case I want to get in touch with them over a message or something, they still end up getting that. I think it's a fantastic feature. It basically just highlights everything, the amount of time they've spent on each app every single day. So you know exactly where they're spending most of their time. You can cut off things for them. Kids are not going to like it. I'm very, very excited about
it. It is about control. I'm wondering, how big is Abbas Palaces if you text your kids? Do you text Dad here?
No.
Come down for dinner.
If I'm outside, if I'm out with the wife or at the movies or something, if I want to get in touch with the kids for anything. So for that,
That's a very smart
event. What do you think about
event.
That as a parent then?
No, I think it's a good thing. It's very difficult because you can't watch your kids 24/7. Yeah. They get home from school, they need to wind down, they're going to use it. But if you can set parameters and it's backed up, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. It's a great idea.
Absolutely.
I think it would be good for self-policing for some adults that maybe spend a bit too long on some of these apps.
It's probably
as well.
More adults than it is kids, let's face it.
Definitely. So what else?
So they also have something called ARKit. So ARKit was upgraded to ARKit 2.0. Augmented reality. Basically what that does is allowing you to see something through the screen of your phone or your tablet, which doesn't really exist. So you're looking at a table, for example, and I'm pointing my phone at a table. I can see virtual objects on the table. Now, we've had that for a while. I think a lot of applications have existed for that. What they're doing now is they're allowing two or more people to see the same thing from different angles. So I can literally be playing a game. So they demonstrated a game of slingshots where there are a lot of blocks on there. I've got a slingshot on my side. You've got yours on yours. We could literally be playing a game together, that same game together, which is fantastic because we've never had that before. We've had single player experiences in AR. They're sort of combining multiple people coming into a same scene together, creating. Lego was another example that was given where you're playing Lego with a couple of friends and you're building blocks virtually. Everybody's seeing the same thing on their phones. different angles based on which they're sitting at. I think it's a fantastic progression into augmented reality. And there is rumors that Apple is working on a pair of glasses which will have augmented reality.
Wow.
So I think they're building these blocks right now, which will sort of, when they do come into play, everything's going to be in place. I think that's super smart about Apple. You know, they demonstrate you part of technology which you're like, yeah, okay, that's cool. I like it. It's nice. But then the way they take it forward with everything that they're coming up with, their roadmap that you're not aware of, obviously.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, bam, something appears. And like, wow, okay, why did I not see that coming? They're great with that. So that was one of the other things.
It is very smart. We're going to continue this in a few minutes' time.
Drive Live talks technology.
We are talking technology. The man in the hot seat is Abbas Jafar Ali, who's the managing editor of Tech Radar. And if you have a question, he's ready and willing to answer 4001 via the free messaging app, or you can call us 423 1010. Now, Abbas, we've been talking about some of the Apple announcements. I think the screen time has been my favourite so far, but I love it. I think it's great.
It's fantastic.
But yeah, round up some of the other key things we need to be aware of in this big Apple announcement.
So I think the last one on iOS that particularly interested me was Siri shortcuts. Now, Siri is Apple's assistant, kind of like Google Assistant.
Yeah.
Doesn't work very well, at least in my experience. I've tried it a few times. It's not necessarily the best assistant. A lot of times you ask it a question and you get a totally random answer.
It doesn't
understand what you're saying
sometimes, yes.
So what Apple's doing is kind of smart by introducing something called Siri shortcuts. And what it does is that you can set a specific set of actions. For example, when you are leaving your workplace, you record your voice on Siri saying, leaving my workplace. And then you assign a few actions with that. So what you can do is, as soon as you say leaving my workplace, it might message your partner. It might check the traffic on the maps for you. If you've got a smart home, it might change the thermostat to whatever temperature that you like.
Oh, I love the sound of that.
And then switch on your favorite podcast or radio as soon as you start commuting.
Can I just say, I do that in the car. When I pull up to the house, I put the music on before I go in. So it's like there.
There's too much automation going on in your life, NLT.
And just to think I'm rubbish at tech, and even I could do that.
It's quite good. yeah. Tell the story of how your husband gets your attention when he's away.
Oh, this is so embarrassing.
This is good.
Abbas, have you ever heard this story?
No.
Okay. So in our house, we have some of these lights. You can get lots of different kinds. I think ours are Hue. And there's an app. And often with me, Abbas, I don't know where my phone is. Or it's on silent. So if my husband's trying to get hold of me and he's away, when he works away a lot, if I'm not answering the phone, he flashes the lights on
the
app.
Awesome.
And I go, oh, I must go and find my phone because he's trying to talk to me. And then, yeah, that's how I find
out. That's a great
trip. He wants to talk.
That's a great trip. I've got Hugh at my house as well. I think I'm going to use that to get my wife's attention as well.
Yeah,
you could do that. And you could change the colour of the lights according to your mood. So if the lights go red, it's like, he's unhappy.
That's what he does. He flashes them red.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
I bet he does.
Because I don't have them red in the house. They're obviously a very nice soft colour. And then I'm like, oh, why are the lights red? Why are they flashing? That's it. Find your phone. So, yeah, he's not creepy, but I know that sounds weird, but it works for us.
That's quite nice. Speaking of Hue, they had a recent update in the last couple of weeks where if you have a few lights in your TV room that are connected to your Hue account, it can sort of listen on to the audio on the TV and then change the lighting based on that.
Wow.
Which is quite cool. Yeah, it gives you a more immersive experience of watching television in your living room.
That's insane.
Mm.
That's really cool. So it creates an atmosphere for you.
It does.
What if Barry White's on or somebody, and it's all...
very soothing, very calming.
So
that's what it's all about, Tim.
That's really...
You need more automation in your life, clearly.
I do. I'm going to get rid of those normal, good old screwing light bulbs.
They're great.
Changing. All right, then. There's a question just come in from Salman. While we're on Apple, and I had another question about the Apple HomePod for you. Salman says, what about Apple giving control to users to block Facebook from sharing users' personal data?
Right. So I think that's another feature that they've added on iOS 12 is the amount of permissions that an app requires. They're increasing that tremendously. Mm. Fantastic. I mean, I think that's really, really, really good. I literally just delete Facebook from any phone that I get. The first thing I do, if it comes bundled with the phone, I'll just uninstall it, block it, whatever I can, because the amount of data that apps are collecting nowadays based on you. And then, unfortunately, Facebook's got this reputation of leaking data or I won't say selling data, but I think it's a great idea to protect your privacy in that regards, and I respect Apple for doing something like that.
It's very interesting that you say it's one of the first things you do.
I do. I mean, I've got a Facebook account. I have to use it for work-related purpose. Mm. But on the personal side, I think the last time you'll see any update from me would have been years back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That is interesting. And it's perfectly okay because you try to delete the Facebook app from most phones. It's native or built in,
exactly,
isn't it? But it is okay to delete it if you want to.
You can block it or you can just disable it. A lot of times it won't let you delete it, but you can disable it.
Okay. It's good advice. Here's another question. I was reading a Wired article earlier. Now, there's a new update that brings the HomePod a little bit closer to what we should have had in the first place, it says.
Sure, sure.
In that it's a little bit smarter. It's not just a speaker, I think. So, key updates, iOS 11.4, HomePod stereo pairing, and AirPlay 2. So, what do you
know
about that?
So, okay, so basically, when Apple released the HomePod, you could use it as a standalone speaker, but you couldn't create a stereo set out of it. With this new update, you will now be able to take two HomePods and act them as left and right speakers. So, split the sound, get proper stereo out of them. I'm actually debating buying a couple of them and hooking them up with my Apple TV and getting the sound, because from what I've heard, I don't have one right now, but the sound quality is supposedly superb on them. They are going for about 1,200, 1,300 dirhams right now, which is a bit pricey, but not overly expensive. If you want to get a good pair of speakers, they can run you, you know, a lot more than that. So I am sort of thinking about getting a couple of them, connecting to Apple TV, and then letting them sort of take care of all the audio that comes out.
And how big are we talking? What kind of size are we?
They're about this big. They're cylindrical. So this is about 8 inches, seven to 8 inches in height. Mm. Cylindrical.
Yeah.
Not very big, but supposedly they've got fantastic sound.
They sound expensive to me, though, for the size of them. And I mean, are they smart functioning beyond that?
Yes. Yeah. So they've got Siri built in. You can kind of just say, "Hey Siri," and then just ask for it to play any kind of music that you want from Apple Music. They're restricted. They're very restricted into the Apple ecosystem right now. So if you've got Spotify or some other music app, you can't just ask Siri to play songs off that. You can use your iPhone and wirelessly stream using AirPlay 2 to them, which is sort of like an extra step that you need to take. I think Apple needs to open that a little bit more. I think it's a good product, but it's just too closed for its own good right now. If Apple allows, you know, a little further customizations on it, it could improve.
It's great having two Bluetooth speakers, though, and setting them left
here
and right.
Here we go. Yeah. I mean, not to dwell on stories of technology in my house, but we will tell one more story. Recently, we have, what are they called? Alexa, maybe a Dot?
Yes, Alexa Dot. Echo Dot.
We were sat one day talking, and out of nowhere, Alexa is quite, she doesn't listen to my husband. She listens to me, but she doesn't listen to him. And out of nowhere, she just said, "Playing last song you listened to," and just started playing it. And we were like, what happened? But my husband's called Alex, so I sometimes wonder if I say his name, does Alexa think it's her?
Maybe you dwell on the X and it's Alex.
It really scared me, though.
Couple of stories about Amazon Alexa. Don't want to freak you out, but
but I'm going to.
Yep. Okay.
So about a month and a half back, people had Alexa randomly laughing in the middle of the night, like literally while you're sleeping, you suddenly hear a laugh coming out of Alexa, and that was a bug acknowledged by Amazon that just sort of happened. So, you know, just in case you hear someone laughing in your house in the middle of the night, don't freak out.
Okay, that's good advice.
The second one, which is a bit more scary, is that a family reported that whatever conversation they were having in their living room got recorded on Alexa and got sent as a message to someone on their contact book without them knowing whatsoever. So that person literally called them back and like, "This is the message that you guys just sent me." And that was basically just the conversation the family was having in the living room with their kids or whatever. Apparently, Alexa heard Alexa in there somewhere, fired off recording their voice, and then heard the person's name, thought it was a message that was intended for them, sent that voice memo to that person, which is very scary.
That raises a host of issues.
Yeah, I remember seeing the headlines about that because it does raise rather a host of issues. But I mean, it could have been much worse. You know, they could have been having a very different kind of conversation.
No, absolutely. Don't keep these assistants in your bedroom. That's the one piece of advice that I'm going to give anyone.
That's the word for the day. There's one more thing on HomePods, actually. A question in from John. Do they have a phono input, a standard, you know, headphone, mini headphone jack input?
I don't think so. Right. I don't think so. Okay. No, I don't think so.
Okay, there you go, John.
I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
You are listening to Drive Live. We're talking tech. Abbas Jaffer Ali is a managing editor of Tech Radar and has been talking us through some of the big tech stories this week. So we've moved on now. We've discussed quite a bit on Apple. And actually, John texted in with a question. John asked about the HomePods. Do they have a phono input? And you said you think not. We've checked it. We can confirm, can't we? Definitely not.
There are not. Somebody, I've just looked online on a forum online. Somebody asking how to set up a turntable with HomePods. It's very difficult. It's Airport Express, it's Apple TV with HomePods and AirPlay 2, and we gave up.
It's going over my head
just
completely.
Just a little bit too. Suffice to say, no phono input. So
That's that. Actually, stay with Apple for a second. The Apple Watch 3 is going on sale here.
That's right. So the LTE version, Apple Watch Series 3 was announced last year and it did go on sale, the regular version, but we never got the LTE or connected version of the watch. So pre-orders start on the 8th of June, goes on sale, I believe, on the 15th of June here in the UAE. It's got an embedded SIM card in it and you need a carrier to sort of work with that. So Ittisalat is the carrier that Apple is sort of starting off with. You'll need an Ittisalat SIM card that you can then use with your Apple Watch. The great thing about it is that it lets you use your Apple Watch without the iPhone. So if you want to go running with whatever else, you can receive calls on it without the phone being near you, you know, access data on it without the phone being near you. I think that's great.
So I've never had a smartwatch, so I don't really know. But if you received a call on there, or so would you have two phone bills, or is it all coming from the same bill and this is an extension of that original contract?
So in the US, what telcos have done is that they've added a small little charge on top of your bill for the embedded SIM. It's the same number. It's not like you're getting a different number or anything.
Okay.
It's just going to ring on both the places. Ittisalat hasn't announced yet. On the website, it just says coming soon. So once they share the details, we'll know a little bit more on that.
Yeah. What's it likely to be? Would it just be, you know, another SIM and it goes onto your account? Pretty straightforward?
Pretty much. I'd say about 25 dirhams a month if I was going to guess. I think you're just going to end up paying an extra 25 dirhams on top of your phone bill, you know, just getting that. You will require the iPhone to initially set up the watch. It's not like a completely standalone computer by itself, kind of like how the iPhone was originally, where you needed a PC to set it up or a Mac to set it up. So you will require your iPhone. But once you've done the initial setup process, then, you know, you're free to take the watch anywhere you want without the phone.
That's interesting. Mm. Yeah. I guess if you've got some sort of package, you're using the same minute.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously that makes sense. Yeah.
It's just that little extra bit of freedom, isn't it? That's the thing. You're constricted. If you have a smartwatch and a phone, they have to go together.
Now that's the case. But I think with LTE watches, you know, we're moving in that direction where they're becoming their own standalone computers, if you want to call them that.
Yeah, that's right. And Samsung been doing that for a while, haven't they? They've offered an LTE version.
So the thing is that Samsung has had an LTE version, but never officially in the region.
Right.
Huawei's got one too, which they recently launched, I think, last week or so, but not in the region. So I think as far as the region's concerned, the only other watch that I remember was LG, which was a good number of years back before Android and stuff. And that watch literally took your big SIM card and you slid the SIM card into the watch. This was a good 10 years ago, maybe 8 to 10 years ago.
Do you remember when SIM cards were the size of credit cards?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So you're both saying LTE. What does that mean?
So that's 4G.
Okay.
4G.
Okay, thanks. Mm. Thanks for clearing that up for me. nice to sound nice and stupid on the radio. Finally, we are seeing the launch of a gaming-centric phone. Now, this company normally make laptops,
Asus, that's right. So basically what they do is they make a lot of components, so parts that go inside your PC, such as your motherboard, your graphics card. They make displays. They make laptops as well on their laptops and on their components. They've got this lineup called ROG, which stands for Republic of Gamers, and they're gaming-centric products, basically targeted towards gamers.
So me, people like me.
I'm talking hardcore gamers, Natalie, over here. Do you know what FPS stands for?
Of course I don't.
There we go. So basically now they're coming up with a new phone in the ROG line, which is taking the fastest processor available on Android for mobile phones, and then they're overclocking it a little bit, making it even faster or higher than that. They've got a panel which does 90 hertz display for gamers. That means a much smoother transition between playing games. It's got touch-sensitive corners, so you can use buttons on... You can use the sides of your phones as buttons, kind of like a gamepad that you have on there. And they've got a lot of accessories that turns it into a gamepad, turns it into other things. I don't know if that's something that's required. I don't think there is any particular app on the Android store that is currently pushing the phones to their limits. So I don't know if this is something that's really required, because if you get just a normal Samsung, for example, with their highest end chipset, it's going to be able to play that game, I would assume, equally as well as this ROG phone. The phone looks cool. I mean, there's no denying that. It looks fantastic. But I don't know if it's probably just an overkill right now. I mean, there are a couple of other companies. Razer's done a gaming phone as well. Xiaomi's done a gaming phone as well. So maybe it's a category that's just waiting to happen.
There must be some demand there. And this is Asus. Asus or Asus? I never know how to pronounce it.
I just call it Asus.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Asus. All right, well, we'll get there in the end, I suppose. But they have a reputation. I had an e-pad. Do you remember the e-pad?
Yes.
Which was like a tablet slotted into a kit. It was like a little mini laptop thing.
Yeah.
I loved it. And then it just decided, I'm not working for you anymore. But they have kind of a reputation for trying some slightly different things.
Absolutely. I think Asus is very good with just experimenting with a lot of their products.
Yeah.
They had one of those laptops last year which had a graphic processing unit which was crazy to be even thinking of that it's in a laptop. So they're good that way. They're very good with experimenting. Mm.
Just finally, very briefly, and Tim, I wouldn't mind your input on this question. It's coming from Lindsay. It says, my dad's in his 80s and I want to get him a turntable. Nothing too fancy. Any suggestions, Abbas?
I think I've seen a couple at Virgin. They're good. They're good. They're very easy to set up. You just literally plug them in, put your record on, and you're good to go.
What's your?
I've got an Audio Technica. It's a copy of the Technics SL1200 or 1210. It's a lot lighter. It costs about 1,200 dirhams, I think. At the moment, you get them in Virgin, but it's really good. It's fine. The thing you need to do is change the cartridge and the stylus, because you need something a little bit better than the native one.
The standard one.
But if that's the money you're looking to spend, that's not top end at all.
Just a quick question for you, Tim, because vinyls have been known for their fantastic sound quality. A lot of these newer turntables are more digital than analog. The one that you have, is it?
They are. Mine's plugged in with standard cables, standard red and white phono cables.
RCA cables.
RCA cables, exactly. Right. So it really depends on your system. I'm not all that bothered about sound. I just like the vinyl idea. But that one to me is really good. But there are cheaper ones than that.
Yep.
Around 600, 700, 800.
Okay, Lindsay, let us know how you get on. Have a little search and come back to us, because we'd love to hear what your 8-year-old dad loves to play as well.
Yeah.
I'd be keen to know what he wants the turntables for.
Send us a playlist.
Yes. Okay, that's all we've got time for. Thanks very much to our guest today, Abbas Jafar Ali, who is the managing editor of Tech Radar. Thanks for coming in.
Always happy to be here.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.